Okay, to world. So today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Daled, and we are witnesses to the most wonderful things, as usual, in our amazing lives. And we're holding still, however, a little bit together with Og, because we haven't yet quite gotten into the next parasha. So on Ayin Gimel Amud Beit, we got up to Omer of Yosef, Nikot, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Biyadecha. So the last thing that we had learned before was the way that Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef had summarized the issues. And according to him, he said it's quite clear. Now, he wasn't referring to the case of the Eivor of the Uber, because there we definitely do have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about whether Shechita is Osanip. But what he said was, if you're talking about an Eivor HaMedulDal, then the halacha is that everybody is clear about it. The din is that Mita, he said, is Osanip. And that would mean that if there was an Eivor Medulto on an animal that died, that Eivor would not be metame like a nevela, it would be metame like an Eivor Menachai. And remember once again, the difference between Tumas Nevela and Tumas Eivor Menachai. Who wants to volunteer what that difference is? Come on, step right up and take your place at the mic. On Daf Ayin Daled, be a witness for the Lord and tell us what the difference is between Tumas Eivor Menachai and Tumas Nevela. What a challenge. Of course, there's not many people here to challenge. There's only letters. Letters don't talk.
Tumas Mada?
Are you volunteering, Rabbanea?
Yeah, Nevela has Tumas Mada. I don't think Eivor Menachai does.
Next, please. This shows you how much my repetitions go in one ear and out the other ear. What about Akiva? Akiva Bed and Breakfast. That's Akiva BB, right? What were you saying, Doc?
Oh, I was going to say Kosher Shita. It was a Kosher Shita.
No, gentlemen, what is the difference between the Tumah of Eivor Menachai and the Tumah of Nevela?
Well, Nevela is metame others, and Eivor Menachai is not metame others.
Not metame what?
Anything else. Eivor Menachai is not metame.
Next, please. Who else wants to be made a fool of? What's going on with you guys? You know, I got this great mail this morning offering me early retirement. I think I should actually take it. I'm telling you. Oh, boy. In one ear, out the other. Okay, so the 491st time over the past week alone, the difference between Nevela and Eivor Menachai is that Eivor Menachai is only metame as a full-scale Eivor, which means that it has to have bones, it has to have muscle, and it has to have different types of gidim, which are tendons, nerves, sinews, and so on and so forth. If you break it up and you take a piece of basar off of an Eivor Menachai, that basar will not be metami. Masha'in kein, if it's an avela and you take basar off of an avela, of course, any kizayit of an avela is metami. That is the difference. This makes it 491 or 2. I lost count. All right, so let's put that in our... In our what? I don't know. I was going to say thinking caps, but there don't seem to be any here. Maybe backpacks. So let's put that in our backpacks and try to remember. Okay, so once again, if you have an Eivor HaMedulDal, then Mita, according to what we're referring to now, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, who was quoting Rabbi Yochanan in that, and that's important because it's the opposite of the way we originally quoted Rabbi Yochanan. So remember that he says that as long as we're not talking about the Eivor of an Uber, and we're talking about an Eivor of the actual Behema itself, an Eivor HaMedulDal, the din is that death is Osanipo, which means that the Eivor will be Metame as an Eivor Menachai, but not mibatame as a part of an avela, and that shchita is not osanipul, and therefore the shchita is actually going to be mitayer it instead of confirming its status as an avrim and achai that had been cut off of the animal. So today the Gemara is saying at the bottom here, Omer Rav Yosef. So we've got the six lines up from the bottom, Omer Rav Yosef. You should believe Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef because his approach is absolutely correct. And what we said earlier on the bottom of Omer Aleph, according to Rabbi Yochanan, was wrong. We were actually accessing an earlier Rabbi Yochanan over there, and it made no sense at all. And according to which Rabbi Yochanan was referring to his original shita that we saw was wrong because if we had a tiyuv to do l'am Rabbi Yochanan, don't believe that there's an issue of here of being able to be metayer the Aver by bringing it back inside the womb. We don't paskin like that. Instead, take Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef as being correct, because the truth is that Rabba Bar Chana is koikavate. Take a look at this bright, and you'll see the way that Rabba Bar Chana defines it, and it will be quite clear to you from this that the halacha is the way Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef said it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Here's the bright. Now, this is the first time that we've seen an indication from a pasuk that actually there is a din of Isser Achila on an Aver Medulda. The Tanya. Ubasar basadeh trefa lo tochelu. So this is coming to add the basar, which we know is, in general, is the din of Bichlal, the din of trefas, and the din of yotze, bekochim. But it could have said, it could have simply said, instead of ubasar, could have said trefa basadeh lo tochelu. Obviously, there's no, what else are we referring to? So if we're talking about ubasar, that is coming to add something, namely, that even in the event that you have basar, which is middul dal, it's adding basar to be the equivalent of trefa, meaning it's usar if it's middul dal in anything, a behema, a chaya, an oaf that you did shrita on, you shechted it, that nonetheless, it would be usar b'achila. So even though we're saying it's not going to be an aver min achai, but it will be metairet, but it will still be usar to eat, which is very strange. So Rabba Bar Bar Chana said, you know what that means? It means the Rabbanan made a gezeira not to eat it. And there's no isar d'oraita. Ein b'em ela mitzvat kerosh bilvad. This is a mitzvah to Rabbanan to be purish from it, to stay away from it. But Evra Min Achai literally does not apply to an Evra Medul Dal. And it's a Rabbanan to make sure that people don't end up eating real Evra Min Achai. But the truth is that Shchita is Eino Osen Nipo, and therefore if you shechted it, it was kosher to even eat. So the way that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana just quoted Rabbi Yochanan, he says that Shchita is actually Matir Avraham Adulda, which is the correct way of understanding Rabbi Yochanan, that, which is the same as Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, and not like the way we had quoted Rabbi Yochanan earlier yesterday, that was that according to him, Shchita actually is Osanipo. Okay, so now we know clearly what Rabbi Yochanan holds. Let's take a look and find out the Shita of Rav. Yosef, Rav Yosef, Kamei Rav Huna. So Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna, and he was saying over, Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav, Achalo lezeh loke. If you ate this, now he points to this. What does this mean? This means this entire object. So that would mean that he's talking about the achil of an aver, and he says, if you would eat it, so that means it's an aver that was meduldal, it would be Mechayevu Malkus. So Amar Le'ahu Mirabbanan. So one of the Rabbanan that was over there says to Rav Huna, don't pay any attention to this guy, referring to Rav Yosef. Don't pay any attention to him. Actually, forget about this, because that was Rav Yudah Amar Rav. We have a better version, according to which Rav said, Achlo Lezeh, the same idea, the Avraham Adulto, eino lokeh. It does not get malchus, which is, of course, what it is that we just learned, that ein bo elo mitzvat parosh bilvat, and there is no chiyav d'oraisa. So Rav Huna says, oy, boy, what do I do now? Anana man nismoch, I've got Rabbi Yosef telling me that according to Rav, the din is that ochloi lezel loike, then I've got this other Mandi Omar who's quoting Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, who says that Rav says that you don't get malchus. I don't know who to rely on. Rabbi Yosef was furious. And Adrina Rav Yosef Ape, Rav Yosef looks the other way. He goes, what a bunch of idiots. And he just looks the other way because both of them are idiots. And he says, what in the world are they talking about? They don't even know how to understand the simplest olive base. My kusha. I was talking about a case where an animal dies, okay? And I said, in that case, it's nipul, and therefore, if you ate this, meaning the entire aver, you would be chayiv because only eating aver menachai and not eating nevela. Why? Because I was referring to a case where it died, and he says, it's a nipul. He was talking about a case where you shechted it. Shechita does not make nipul, and therefore the shechita turns this Aver HaMedudal into a regular piece of meat, other than the fact that the Rabbanit said you're not supposed to eat it because people will confuse it with real Aver Menachai. And therefore, he said you're not going to get Malkus, which is exactly what I said. I mean, these guys, it's unbelievable. These are the type of people that probably don't even put their face up on Daf Yomi and just like scribble a name or something. I'm telling you, this is what you have to do with. Or they sit there instead of learning. They sit there exposing some kind of genie and expect the genie to work for them. They sit there and they figure if they rub it, so then they'll get the answers. It's like an unbelievable, this magical thinking coming back in the 21st century.
Rebbe is lampooning me.
Very good.
Sorry, I'm on the train and reception isn't great, so I'm not coming in now.
Oh, dear. To think they used to have decent internet on that train. Oh, my rub. Okay, so now the question is, what is the mucker for this idea? We know how milta, we just learned that mita is osa nipo, and shrita is not osa nipo. Very strange word. Anyway, what's the mucker of all of it? So which of you guys hiding behind those letters and squiggles, which of you guys are ready to stand up and tell me what the difference is between mitah oseh nipul and shechita oseh eino oseh nipul after all of these days? Come on, some of you. How about Mordechai Schenkler taking a break from that hamburger and giving us an explanation, huh? And what about that? And what about that big shot, the big N, who doesn't show up a whole day yesterday? Hey, what about him? Come on, guys. Step up to the plate. And they don't even know what that means in South Africa. There is no plate. Oh, well. So anyway, I guess nobody's going to step up today. So tell me. I guess I'll have to tell you. So once again, this is only for the 161st time today that we're talking about mitah oseh nipul and shita eino oseh nipul. So mitah oseh nipul means what? An animal that dies and had a limb that was hanging loose, that the halacha is that that aver that was hanging loose is not an avela, because at the moment of death, it was as if it were separated from the animal, and therefore it became an aver menachai. And therefore it's betame only as an aver menachai, which means basar gidim v'atzomos only, when they're together, and it's not mitame as in avela. And shechita eino oseh nipul means that as far as the Torah is concerned, if there was a hanging leg that was not functional and was just hanging on by the skin, the din would be that if you shechted it, it actually would be kosher to eat. And it's only a gezera derabonan that says it looks like avera menachai, don't eat it, but it certainly is not mitame. And even as an Avraham Menachai, which is Metami, the same as the Nevela, as long as it's whole. The mocker of it in the Torah is that it says by the Shmoneh Shratzim. Now, this is very strange because it's talking about Shratzim. And it says, V'chol asher yipol alav behem bimotam yitma. Yipol, okay, that's what this business of nipol comes from. So we're saying any of these shmoneh shrotzim, bimotam, well, I should hope bimotam, that's what we're talking about. It was started off by saying the nivlatam, their metame benivlatam. I don't know why you need to tell me that they're dead. I never heard of an avela that's alive. I mean, I've met a lot of avelas that are alive, actually. But in terms of animals, I never heard of an avela that's alive. And therefore, there's something funny about this pasuk. So, what does it mean when they're dead? Lemute mai, as opposed to what? Lemute, when they're alive? Well, obviously, it said, minivlatam. Well, why do you have to repeat bimotam? It says beferish. The whole pasuk is only talking about v'chiyipol minivlatam, hakol zera zerua, or v'chiyitein mayim al zera v'nafal minivlatam. I mean, obviously, it's all about an avela. So why do I have to say again v'chiyipol bimotam? I know that it's talking about Bibeltam, Benivlatam Nafka. Elashmamina, this must be coming to tell me that Bimotam, death is Osen Nipul. Only Bimotam. And then it will be actually Bitame. But Shrita? Shrita is not Osen Nipul. That must be, since the Botam is stressing, only through death is it Yipul. So in other words, technically speaking, you hear this, Naftali? This addresses your issue. I'm assuming you're really there hiding behind the squiggle. That this is really the equivalent of a separation. What we say, that it is a osa nipo. Makes it the equivalent of having fallen off. That's what we're saying. So this mita osa nipo, it's as if it was noifel, but not shkita. Excuse me, sir, but what in the world are you talking about? This pasuk is talking about shratzim. And you're applying this to the dinim of Behem Achaya Va'of. How do you apply the din of shratzim to Behem Achaya Va'of? V'akro b'shratzim k'tiv. Omar lei. Well, obviously, since bimotam has absolutely no meaning when it would come to shratzim, because what do you mean bimotam and not b'shkita? You don't check shratzim, for God's sake. So since in eno in yamle shratzim, which are lav b'nei shkita, therefore we have a rule in the Torah, which is called in eno in yan la'ex. If we don't have what to do with this, that would teach me anything at all, b'nogea the halacha of shratzim, it's not there for nothing, and it's coming to tell me the dinim of other animals. But wait a minute. You know as well as I know that the word bimotam has a very important meaning outside of what you're saying, and it is not extra. And we use that to teach me a fundamental rule about dead shrotzim, that they have to be ke'en motam, so that if they're no longer fresh and they're all desiccate, they are not metame. So akatimi boile bimotam means if they are still in the state that the remains were in at the moment of death, then they're metame. So lachin mitamim, if they're moist. But if they're desiccate, yveshim ein mitamim. Yes, I know that. But you forget that bimotam is repeated two times. One is, in fact, the Eilat Me'im Lechem, V'chol Asher, it's Kol HaNogea Be'em Bimotam Yitma Da'arev, and then it says Kol Asher Yipol Alav Me'em Bimotam Yitma. So one of them is coming to tell me that it has to be Ke'in Mita, it has to be fresh. The other is coming to tell me Bimotam V'lo B'Shchitatam, which is that Mita Osa Nipol, and Shchita is not Osa Nipol. Seeing it now in context of Yipol, now we understand why we use that weird word, nipol, because the whole basis was from the word kol asher yipol. Now let's go back to the machlokas in the Mishnah. So remember what the machlokas was. We had the case in the Mishnah. There was a pregnant mother having a difficult delivery, and we've had a number of these cases, but okay, a different dinim. We had it from the beginning about the halacha of a treifa, which is how it appears over here, because basically we're in the middle of Eilat Treifas. So it started off with the dinim of treifa. And then we moved on to other halachas, defining the stage of Yalud when it came to Bechor, Kedushas Bechor, selling it before to a goy, and so on. And then we moved on to the question of Tuma, and out of that we got to the issue of whether something that is connected is considered to be Beit HaStarim, or is there a way in which it could be Metami. So we've gone far afield from our original question. But getting back to the issue of if you have an Uber that had been malpresented and its legs came out first and the mother was shechted, so that this was our latest case. So is it metame or not as a nevela, meaning as an Avram and Achai? And Rabbi Meir said it is, and the Chachamim said it's not. So Amar Rav Chisda, I just want to clarify something. This machlokas we have in our Mishnah is only applicable to the case where the Uber is a living Uber. So if it was alive, then the Rabbanan argue with Rabbi Meir, and they say that the piece that was sticking out is not metame like Avram and Achai, or like nevela, which is the word that Rabbi Meir used in order to stress the chumra of its tuma, because an Avram and Achai and a nevela are metame to the same exact extent. The only question is, what is metame, but not how much it's metame. So he called it a nevela. But if the fetus itself was dead, then we run into a different issue. The shechita of the mother. Now, look, it's true. I understand as much as you do, says Rav Chisda, that if the fetus was cut up into pieces even, as long as those pieces are in the mother, then the shechita of the mother does work for the fetus. All I'm saying is that if that fetus was not alive, then the halacha of the shechita of the mother being osen nipo makes no sense. Because, look, if the fetus was not even alive, so what are you saying? That the shechita of the mother works on an animal that's dead? Did you ever hear of a dead shechita? So let's think about this for a moment, gentlemen, because what Rav Chisda is saying is actually a profound insight into the halacha here. You will recall that we had a special posek that was coming to be matir this case of a fetus inside of a mother, right? And that was behema ba behema. So we learned out that anything, even pieces of the animal, the fetus, that is to say, that was left in the womb, is all called behema ba behema, and it's all going to be kosher to eat. Now, there's two different issues over here. One is the question whether the shechita of the mother is the shechita of the child. But the other question is, what if this child could not be shechted? Why not? It's dead. There's no din of shechita on a dead animal, correct? So then that would mean that it's not that the shechita of the mother was matir the fetus because the fetus was shechted. It's that the din of behema ba behema only obtains in a case where the mother is kosher. So the mother is kosher only with shechita. So if you're going to tell me that shechita is osenipo, that shechita is not osenipo, and it works even for the aver that is sticking out, that doesn't make sense to say if the Uber itself is dead, because the shechita of the mother cannot be the shechita of the Uber. The Uber is dead. There's no shechita on dead animals. So how could the shechita then be matir it? So that what we're talking about in the case where the Uber is mace, it cannot be tohar, because for sure it's going to be not shechted. The shechita will be osenipo. The moment that I shechted it, anything else was not connected to it. In that case, it is going to be metame. Nobody would have argued about that case. The only machlokas in the Mishnah was in a case that the Uber was alive. So there the question is, if the Uber is alive, so then the shechita of the mother is viewed as the actual shechita of the Uber. And then since the din is that shechita eino osa nipo, And the Shechita is Matirit. So the Rabbanan said, even in that case, the Shechita is Matirit. Why not? Whereas Rabbi Meir says, no. Not in a case where it's the Shechita of the mother, it's not Shechita's Gufa. We never look at it as the Shechita of the Uber, you see? That's the question. So Rav Chisda is touching on something very fundamental in our entire understanding of the two Shechitas over here of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. As it turned out, Rabbi Meir is the Chachomim, as we hear it, at our Mishnah. And therefore, if the Aver...
Can Rabbi say Rav Chisda again?
Rav Chisda is saying if the Uber is dead, then it was not Shechted. The mother was Shechted. So how did the mother Shechita make the Aver of the Uber considered it to be kosher? Why would that be? The Uber was never Shechted. So there, for sure, Shechita would be Osa Nipul. Whereas Rabba Amar, no, that has nothing to do with it. K'machloket bezeh, kach machloket bezeh, and even if the Uber itself is dead, the question is whether the mother Shechita is that which is Matir, the actual Uber, and therefore it says if it was alive, because we're shefting the mother and it is part of the mother. Fine, another issue. The Mishnah was talking about the case of a Ben Shmoneh Chai at the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, just to make it very clear to you, that the whole idea over here is because something was included in the Shas HaKosher, something that had a time in which Shechita would apply to it. And that's what we're talking about over here. I will give you an example of something, and I'm going to show you how consistent I am, something which you would have thought is kosher for Shechita, and it's not. Why? Because it never had a moment when it entered the realm of Shechita. And what is that? That is an eight-month-old Uber that we managed to deliver alive, and it's currently living. It's considered to be a nafel, and therefore it's not an actual living animal. And therefore, it never had any time in which it could have been shechted. And since it never had any time in which it could have been shechted, therefore, if you do actually shecht it in that case, there's no way to make it tahor, because there was never a time in which it was roy for Shechita, and it is not yet considered to be a viable tzon ubakar. That's the point. And that is a very solid indication as to how much the logic that was in the Mishnah is actually the real logic of why it is that a trefa would be tahora if you shecht it. And you see, only something, you can't compare it to a behemoth tamea. And if you could compare it to behemoth tamea, then I'm perfectly willing to go along with you, says the Mishnah. I'll tell you, there is one case where it's compared to a behemoth tamea, the case of a Ben Shmoneh Chai. So the Mishnah made great sense, and we understood, therefore, how it is that the Shechita of the Trefa will be Matayar as opposed to the Shechita of a Trefa animal, a non-kosher animal that we refer to as Trefa, but has nothing to do with Trefa. This is exactly what this Mishnah is pointing out. There's a difference between a non-kosher animal and a Trefa. And therefore, it would be good to say not that this is Trefa meat, but this is non-kosher meat. Okay. Now, what's interesting is that the conclusion that our Mishnah arrives at is actually denied in a Braita. There's a Braita that takes the conversation between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim further than our Mishnah does and continues the argument and does not accept the argument of the Mishnah. And here's what it says in this Braita. Okay, so the Mishnah said, yeah, okay, so I accept that argument. But the Braita continues from this point on, where our Mishnah ends. And in the Braita, we have a comeback in which, on the contrary, instead of saying, yes, I would agree with you in a case of a Ben Shmoneh Chai, the Braita says just the opposite. A Ben Shmoneh Chai is an absolute proof that even things that the species is roi for Shechita are not going to be kosher from the Vela by being shechted. Because if you have a Ben Shmoneh Chai, it's part of the same species, Yesh Bemino Trefa, the exact opposite of our Mishnah, and even though its species has Shechita, af al pi she yesh b'mino shchita, the shchita doesn't work for it. As according to you, anything that has the species has a shchita, it should work for it. Okay, so then obviously the Braita is already starting off in a fundamentally different from the Mishnah, where the Mishnah insists that for all intents and purposes, a ben shmona is not part of the overall rubric tzon uvakar. When we say ben shmona, we mean or a ben arba for a tzon. Obviously, they have different gestation periods. So therefore, even if a trefa is a species that's kosher, the shchita should not make it tar from the vela any more than the ben shmona chai is made tar from the vela. That's my proof in the Mishnah, which is again in the Braita, which is against the Mishnah. So apparently the Braita disagrees. What's the basis of this? Omer of Kana. The question is that the Tan of the Braisa agrees, of course, that a ben shmona, I'll try to explain it in a way that it shows you how beautiful the whole structure of the sugya is, but since obviously when things go in one ear and out the other, you can't really keep the entire structure of the sugya in the mind, but pretending that I'm actually really speaking to full-scale human beings who have functional brains and have had their coffee this morning. So I will address this. We just had this beautiful discussion 5 minutes ago about Rav Chisda, who was trying to make this distinction between the shechita working for the dead fetus and so on, right? Well, basically, the question is a mother's shechita the shechita of the fetus? Or is the mother's shechita only being machshir the mother, and the fetus is kosher because of ba'ema, ba'ema, but it in no way got its own shechita, right? That is the issue. The same issue is here. Rav Kahana says, you know why the Tana the Braisa says that yesh b'mino shechita? Not because it's really able to be shechted. You couldn't shecht an individual living, delivered ben shmona, which is not considered to be really living. It's just temporarily exhibiting signs of life, but it's not alive. That is nonetheless, it did have the b'mino shechita, where if it would be in its mother and you shechted its mother, then that shechita is its shechita. So according to the Braita, we say, a ben shmona does have shchita b'mino. I mean, of course, only when it's in the mother, because we need the mother's simanim to affect its shchita. But nonetheless, it is its shchita. You see how this is part of Rav Chisda's logic before. And therefore, you cannot say that the ben shmona never is in the realm of shchita, because its mother is in the realm of shchita, which is, for all intents and purposes, its own shchita. That's why the Braita says that the ben shmona is shayach to shchita. Whereas Tana Didan, our Tana says, the mother shchita doesn't show that it is shchita. It says, mina de'ime, lo porich. I can't use the mother's shchita as an indication that it's called a min that is shayach to shchita. There's never shchita on a ben shmona. There's only a din of Bema, Baba, Ema, in which case it comes to the conclusion that the shchita of a treva is metayer, but the shchita of a ben shmona is not metayer. So let me ask you something. So according to the Tana of the Braisa, so how does he end up proving that a treva shchita is metayer? I mean, our Mishnah comes out that the only time that we've got a problem is where you've got something that is similar to an animal that's of a non-kosher species, such as a ben shmona. But according to the Braita, we dafka can prove from the ben shmona that we have cases of things that were never shayach to shchita, or things that were shayach to shchita, and nonetheless, the shchita is not going to be metayer them. So why would trefa, meaning a congenital trefa, remember we're talking about a trefa that was b'shas yitzira, that's what we ended up on. So how would we know that the shchita would be metayer it if it was never included in shas kosher for shchita? Ah, you know what? We've been hiding some very important information from you, and there's actually a completely different alternative to how it is that we know the din that a shchita is metayer a treifa. And that was Rav Yehuda Amarav's diak. So Rav Yehuda Amarav says, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, some say actually was a braita, that the pasuk says, Omar Kro, the pasuk says beferish, v'chi yalmut mina abema. So then we have the din of hanogeb and ivlata. So there the whole pasuk is v'chi yalmut mina abema shelachem lo ochla. We dashed this pasuk earlier. Hanogeb and ivlata yitma ad ha'orev. What I want to be medayik here, says Rav, is the word min habehima. What do you mean? What do you mean min habehima? Meaning only some behemoth are metame as an avela, and other behemoth are not metame as an avela. Otherwise, just say v'chi yamut behema. If you're selling me only certain types of behema, that tells me miksat behema metama, or miksat behema not metama. So what do you see from here? That there is such a thing as a dead animal that does not make something tame. Where is that? That's the treifa sheshachata. If you have a dead animal, but it was dead because it was shachut, but I still can't eat it because it's treifa, it's telling me that nonetheless, some dead animals, despite the fact that they're asur b'achila, they are not mitama. What must that be? The only case could be the case of a treifa shenishchata. So therefore, the braita does not buy into the logic of our Mishnah, but clearly must buy into the diuk of Rabbi Amarav. Now I got another question, and this leads up to the Mishnah that's coming, which we often find. Suppose you've got a real ben bekua. So a ben bekua is a full-term fetus. It's still in the womb. And if you shechted the mother, we're going to see in the upcoming Mishnah that a full-term fetus is a machlokis, whether the shechita sa'im works for it, or since it's full-term, it needs its own shechita. Now, as Rav Hoshaya asks, what would be the din? Forget about shechting the mother. Suppose you shechted a full-term fetus in utero. So you simply put your hand into the animal's womb with a shechting knife and you shecht it. Is that a kosher shechita because it's full-term and therefore it is ro'oi to be shochut on its own? Or is the only shechita that's available for an in-utero fetus is the shechita of the aim? That's my question. So, hoshitat yadol me'e behima, v'shachat ben tishachai, mahu. What is the halacha in that case, an in utero shechita? And I want you to know, as I said, this is an introduction to the upcoming Mishnah, I want you to know that I'm asking this question according to both shechitas in the upcoming Mishnah. So, I'm asking this both according to Rabbi Meir, whom we're about to see in the Mishnah, that he says that if you shech the mother with the ben bekua in utero, it is actually not kosher. And if it ends up surviving and you cut it out of the womb, it's going to need its own shechita to be eaten. Because once it's full term, according to Rabbi Meir, the shechita ta'em is not mat. I want to know, does that mean that you can shecht it in utero yourself directly, not shechting the mother, but putting a knife into the womb and shechting it? That's what I want to know. So I would ask this both according to Rabbi Meir Shita and according to Rabbanan Shita, who say that a ben bekua that was full term is kosher based on the mother's shechita. Here, let me explain to you. I say you can ask this according to Rabbi Meir, because all that Rabbi Meir says in the Mishnah that's upcoming is Ad kan lo kamer Rabbi Meir that a ben bekua that's tone shechita. Perhaps when Rabbi Meir says that a ben bekua needs shechita, he meant it needs shechita and you can do shechita if it was born. Hani mile hechad yatzala avir ha'olam. But if it's in me'e imo, it is not yet considered to be an independent life form that we entered into the Hilcha Shechita. Now you see how this follows from the previous issue. If something was considered to be once royal Shechita because the Shechita's aim, does that mean it can be Shechted? Or does it just mean that the mother can be Shechted and it is considered to be kosher because it's in the mother? But that doesn't imply that it was ever Shechted. It was never Shechted. Maybe. I don't know how to look at it. So my question is that even Alibra Rabbi Meir, who says it's an independent organism and you need to Shecht it in order to eat it, I'm asking, but can you Shecht it if it hasn't been born yet? Maybe Rabbi Meir just said, when it's born, you can Shecht it, but there's no such thing as a fetus that is still living off of its mother. It's still attached to its own placenta. I'm not saying that you can Shecht it. I'm just saying that it's not going to be mutter with the mother Shechita. Maybe that's all Rabbi Meir said, you know? So, Hani Mili Yechli Yotzel Avir Olam, but I never meant to say that Bime'e Imo, Lo Shaya Lo Shechita. It's not considered. It still does not have its own Kona and Veshet. Is it breathing through its trachea? Answer me. No. Is it eating through its esophagus? No. So how can I shecht its trachea and its esophagus? It doesn't have one. It's living off of its placenta. That's the way to look at it, perhaps. So in order to do a shechita, you have to have a functional simanim. It doesn't have functional simanim. So it's absurd to say I'll shecht a non-functional trachea. Trachea is no trachea. It's a piece of meat, as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't do anything. And therefore, Rabbi Meir would be saying, Bimei imo lo shaya lo shechita. A brilliant point. That's one way of looking at it. Now, I want to tell you, you can look at it entirely the other way. And I would say maybe even according to the Rabbana, who say that the Shechita of the mother is matirit, since it's full term and it has a fully functional trachea and a fully functional esophagus, except they're not used right now because they're turned off. But, if I disconnect it from its placenta and give it a slap across the face, it'll start breathing, right? Okay, so then it is essentially a trachea. What's the difference if it's not breathing at this moment? That's the other way of looking at it. So this is a waiting trachea and a waiting esophagus, and that's perfectly okay. So you'll say, well, so then why don't I have to shecht them? Why can I shecht the mother? Because this is a strange thing that has four different simanim. You can shecht it by cutting its mother's trachea and veshet, and you can shecht it by cutting its own incipient trachea and veshet. That's why. So it's got arba simanim, and the Torah said there's four different simanim, and you can be machshir it anyway. In which case, even the Rabbanan would hold that the ben bekua would be kosher if it was shechted in utero. I understand that this is difficult, Ori, to tolerate. Shechting a poor fetus is bad enough to go after a baby, but this is outrageous. But nonetheless, these are the facts of life, dearest, and we have to face the fact that we eat meat. Nothing to do. Especially you as a South African. Anyway, so that would mean arba simonim, achshir berachmana. What's the answer? Omer Rav Chananya, I will tell you. Tashma, look at our own Mishnah. The Mishnah brings a raya from a nolda trefa min habetet. So we said, what would you do if something was a trefa at the moment of birth? Now, at the moment of birth, it was a trefa. And we're saying that proves it never had a moment that it was kosher to be shechted. That's what we said, right? But according to this, just because at the moment of birth it's a trefa, that doesn't mean it never had a moment to be shechted, does it? Let's imagine that a moment before it was born, it was actually damaged in utero. Somebody knifed the mother and made a hole through its lungs. And you're saying that animal never had a moment that it was royal shechita. Why not? a moment before somebody knifed it and made a hole in its lungs, it was roi for shechita, if you hold that you can actually do a shechita in utero, right? So you see from our Mishnah, you cannot do a shechita in utero because it brings a raya from a congenital trefa. At the moment of birth, it had a hole. So if the din would be that you would be able to do a shechita in utero, so then even an animal that was born as a trefa, 10 minutes before that, or 2 days before that, whatever it is, it could have been shechted. Because you're saying you could do a shechita while it's still in the womb. It's clear that our Mishnah takes for granted that you cannot do a shechita while it's in the womb. Because, I mean, Iboy, according to you, Ayel Yoda, you could have put your hand into the womb and done a shechita. And yet the Mishnah says there's no such thing as having a moment of being royal shechita if it's born as a trefa. Not so. So you see from here clearly that you cannot do a shechita in utero. Beautiful. Oh, my leg, Rabbi, come off it, man. So let's not talk about a congenital defect that's caused by an event. I'm talking about a classic congenital, meaning that it's genital. It's actually defined by its genes. That's the point. This thing became, it was an animal that was born with five legs. Okay, that didn't happen a minute before birth. I got news for you. It was formed that way genetically. So that means the moment that it had a leg, it was a trefa. So Amar Leih Rava, you want to say the Mishnah correctly. If for all of these pedantic people, so say notzra trefa min habeta. It was made originally, formed that way from the womb. Not that it was born that way. Okay. So now we covered that case. Thank you. So we have the same Mishnah with the same internal logic in the Mishnah without having it have any implications as to whether you could do a shechita in utero. Are we happy now? Yes. What would be the case? Mashkachat la bebalat chamesh ragvayim. You've got a five-legged fetus. Five-legged fetus is not kosher because remember that Gavi rule. The rule is kol hayeter is kekoser dami, and therefore it is not kosher. Okay, so the Mishnah is not a raya. Do we have a raya? No. The Gemara drops off without a raya, and it's left without a clear raya. Can you do an in utero shechita or not? This brings us to a historic moment in which our own very own Capitan will introduce this very important foundational Mishnah. Thank you, Capitan. So here we get to the Machlokas, the aforementioned machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. Somebody shechs a behema and finds in that behema a ben shmona. So it's an 8 month if it's talking about large animals, or a 4 month if it's talking about small animals. You find an immature fetus. It doesn't matter whether it's dead or alive. It would be perfectly kosher. And what's more, if you find a fully formed fetus that was dead, and so it's a full-term fetus, but it's dead, it's a bentisha mate, in those situations, the shechita of the mother is matirit because of behema ba behema. Now, this is a behema ba behema, and as we said before, it doesn't matter if it's dead or alive. You can cut up that fetus into pieces, and it's still going to be kosher through the Shechita Sa'im, correct? That was our original Mishnah on the Sugya, as opposed to pieces of the animal itself. Let's say you cut off the spleen and you left the spleen in there, not following Barnea's rules of doing the protocol and checking whether, did I take everything? Yeah, I got all the bandages out. Yeah, thanks. Great. Anyway, but you left the spleen in. If you left the spleen in, it's not going to be kosher. Okay. So what's the din over there? You can eat it, and you don't need to shecht it. All you need to do is to open it up, take out any blood, and then you can eat it. When we say korah, oh, we mean you don't need to shecht it. Cut it open and eat it, as long as you got rid of its blood. But suppose you find a live full-term fetus. Then you need to shecht it for it to be kosher. And if you shechted it on the same day that you shechted the mother, you would be chayev for otoved beno, because it's just like any other normal born animal, despite the fact that it was discovered after the shechita of the mother in the mother's womb. So says Rabbi Meir. So this is the sheet of Rabbi Meir that we referred to a few minutes ago. And there is, in fact, a din of its own shechita. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, what's the difference how old it is? The fact that it's a full term while it's in the mother's womb, alive on its own, makes absolutely no difference. The shechita of the mother is metayer it the way that it's metayer anything else. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer, why are we discussing issues about now? It's basically a completely kosher animal that is a piece of meat, even if it's walking around and doing a job, plowing in the field 10 years later, 5 years later. If you're hungry, why don't you walk over and take a piece from it and eat it? Because it's really a walking piece of meat. It only looks like an animal. And even if it's been chamesh shanim, it's a five-year-old and it's choresh basadeh, it's doing heavy-duty work in the field, you can eat it without shechting it. And shechitat imo is mitaharato. So it's not just a question of today. It's its own independent piece of meat that looks like a walking, talking animal. Kara'ah, what about if you didn't shecht the mother? What about the mother actually died? You tear it open in order to save whatever is in the womb. And then you find a ben tisha chai. You've got a fully formed, nine-month, full-term calf. Then, for sure, it needs shechita. The fishalon is shechataimo. The din that we have, beima ba beima, obviously is only when the beima that it's inside of is kosher. But here, you never made it kosher by shechting it. So then, this means that according to the Chachamim, as long as this fully formed fetus was still living off of its mother, the shechita of the mother is metaharit because it's not an actual separate organism. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Oshaya, this is only true. Benogea, the dinim of shechita. We don't mean to say that the Chachamim hold that it's considered to be a non-independent organism across the board. We only mean benogea shechita, that's all. As opposed to what? What do you mean when you say they agree that it is a fully independent organism? Do you mean that the chelev and the gidhanasha of this full-term fetus is usher? Is that what you mean? Lemu'utei chelbo v'gidot. Okay, so apparently he's saying the chelev and the gid anasha is usher. When you're talking about its chelev, what do you mean? The chelev of the fetus? The chelev of the shlil itself? I don't understand how you could say that. There's a beferish of brayta that the chachamim hold that it does not have chelev. Take a look at this. It's part of the same machlokas. And don't tell me it's only nogeya shechita. Here it says beferish, it's nogeya the chelev, and it's nogeya the gid anasha. It's a brayta. What, Reb Oshaya is arguing with the brayta now? Ilema chelbo de shlil miflek poli, detanya. Gid anasha is just as real a gid anasha in a shlil, in a fetus that was taken out alive after you shechted the mother. And not only that, the chelev is usher, so says Rabbi Meir. Whereas the Rabbi Yehuda, which is the Chachamim, who argues on Rabbi Meir, says, not true. There's no din of a gid anasha on a shlil because it is not an actual separate independent organism, and therefore it doesn't have a Gidanosha, and it doesn't have its own Chelev. V'yomer Rebbe Elazar Amar Rebbe Yoshaya, what we're talking about over here is our case. The Machlokas is about a Ben Tishachai, a fully formed fetus that was found alive in the womb, and Rebbe Meir is going, according to his Shita, it needs its own Shita, and therefore it has its own Gidanosh and Chelev. And Rebbe Yehuda is the Shita, the Chachamim, that's going according to his own Shita, that it is not an independent organism, and therefore it does not have a Gidanosh and Chelev. Don't tell me that Rebbe Hoshaya is trying to say something against the Braita and that we mean only Shkita and not Gidanosh and Chelev. Not true. The Machlokas is essentially the same, whether you're talking about the question of whether you need Shkita or you're talking about the question whether it has its own Gidanosh. Sorry. Okay. What he meant maybe was, perhaps, that Rabbi Shaya meant to say that the Chelev of the Gidanosh, that much we say, everybody's motor that it's mutter. Not true. Miflag pligi, there's even a machlokas about the chelev of the gid hanasha. Now, the truth is, as Rashi points out, this whole piece does not really belong here. It's an interpolation from a sugya later that we'll see. I'll read it over, but it's not really relevant here. Okay, but we'll pretend. So, what are you talking about? The chelev of the gid itself? Everybody knows that they do continue to argue about that. The Tanya Gidanashe, according to Rebbe Meir, if it has the Gidanashe, you have to get out every last bit of any fat that's on the Gid. Mechateta karav b'choma kom shehu, v'chotech shamnomi ikaro. So says Rebbe Meir. Now, this is not Nogeg here because we're talking about the Shlil, and he's talking about the normal dinim of Gidanashe, and therefore this is an inappropriate inclusion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you're talking about the chelev of the Gidanosha. You don't need to dig it all out. You just cut off whatever's on the surface. Gomamoim Ashofi, you put it, cut off anything that's sticking out above the muscle. That's all. Anyway, so obviously that wasn't what Rabbi Shaya was talking about. So what did Rabbi Shaya, what did he mean? Yele Yitmar, Achi Yitmar. Omer Rabbi Lezer, Omer Rabbi Shaya. Not Shchita, Achila. What the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, or the Chachamim that we identify here, means only things that have to do with eating, which includes the Gidanasha, the Chelev, but other things that don't have to do with eating, for that it's considered to be an independent organism. So if somebody uses this animal for sex, or somebody uses it together with a different species to plow, it is its own independent animal, and it's considered to be exactly the same as being Rovea, any animal, or being Choresh Bekelayim with any animal. That's all Rav Hoshaya meant. He meant Benogea Achila, not Benogea other issues. But what about the blood? Amar Reish Lakish, if you hold, like Rabbi Yehuda, so if you say it's kosher because of a Shchita, and therefore it's kosher to eat its chelev, so you can eat its blood also. We're going to ask in a moment, well, what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah said you have to get rid of its blood. We'll talk about that. But Rabbi Yehuda would say the blood is kosher. And according to Rabbi Meir, who says the chelev is usher, then of course his blood is usher. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says everybody agrees that the blood is usher. Even the one who says that the chelev is mutter is made that the blood is usher. And in fact, as Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish, hey man, do you know how to read the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Koro Motziya Damo. What are you talking about? You have to get rid of the blood. It says Beferish. So we see that even on an 8-month-old, where everybody is Veda, that the Chelev is Mutter. Nobody argued about that. They're only arguing about the full term. And the blood is Usser. So what are you telling me that the Tana who is Mater, the Chelev is Mater, the Dam? Says Beferish not like that. Rabbi Zeri didn't understand what Reish Lakish was saying. Reish Lakish wasn't saying the Dam is Mutter. He's saying that Dam is not called Dam HaNefesh. That's what he was saying. Because it wasn't its own Nefesh here. It's part of the mother. And since the only time that Dam is Usser with the Isser Chorus is where it's Dam HaNefesh, ki adamu ba nefesh. If it's not called dama nefesh, it's not an iser kares, but it certainly is considered to be an iser lav. He never meant that you're allowed to eat the dam. And of course, the Mishnah is 100% correct. You've got to get rid of the dam. He was simply saying, lomar she'en anush karet. Oh, no, no, no. Don't try to pull that one on me. Who are these chachomim that are mater chelbo, huh? Rabbi Yehuda. So then he couldn't amend that it's zarchi of karas. Because since, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you do not need dam ha-nefesh to be chai of karas. So there goes your whole argument. Gotcha. So Aman Ka'amri, who are you talking about? Who is this man Yomer that says the chel of his mutter that you're saying the dam would not be in his karas? Rabbi Yehuda? According to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's not dam ha-nefesh, it's just plain old dama tamsis, which is blood that would be draining out of the animal after the dama nefesh already was removed. Rabbi Yehuda holds the dama nefesh and the dama tamsis are both chayiv koras. The Tanakama says dama tamsit is only an iser lav, but Rabbi Yehuda says the dama tamsit is koras. So even if you want to consider the dam of the uber to be the equivalent of dama tamtzit of the evarim, if you're saying it according to the Man D'Omer who's matir chelbo, that's Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says, even if it's just dama tamtzit, it's still a chiyuv of koras. What a beautiful answer to this comeback. It's amazing. What is the basis of Rabbi Yehuda saying that even the dama tamtzit is chayev? You know what it is? So as Tirgama Rav Yosef, Breder of Salah Hasida, Kameder of Papa, the basis of Rav Yehuda Shita, that you're chayiv even on Dama Tamtzit, is because in the Psukim of the Isser Dam, it says, Kol Nefesh Asher Tochal Kol Dam. What's Kol Dam, says Rav Yehuda? Kol Dam means whether it's Dama Nefesh or whether it's Dama Tamtzit, it's the same. So he's marba dam ha-tamsis from the dam ha-nefesh. But suppose there is no dam ha-nefesh. And on a fetus, there is no dam ha-nefesh because it doesn't have its own shechita. Then what's the kol dam going to add? There's no dam ha-nefesh to add this dam to. And therefore, he's saying that in fact, and that's the beauty of what Rish Lakhar is pointing out, it is only a chiyav alav alav. So go, the mechayav adama nefesh. If there is dama nefesh, he says, okay, then you'd also be chayav adama tamtis. But kol hecha do lo mechayav adama nefesh. If there's no chiyav on the dama nefesh itself, then there is also no chiyav, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, on the dama tamtis. Okay, so hopefully we're all very happy, having put on our thinking caps a little bit too late to cover the past, but surely it covered the future. All right, so now we've entered into a new realm of a full-term fetus, which we hadn't discussed until now, and whether that fetus is a piece of meat, even though it's behaving very suspiciously like an animal. I mean, it's running around, frolicking, and then when it got older, we hooked it up to the plow, and it's one heck of a piece of meat, let me tell you. And nonetheless, we see in the Mishnah, at least according to that one sheeta, we're going to try to understand if there are machlokas about this, that it is edible without shechita at any point. And then we found that the machlokas of Rabbi Meir about full-term being an independent organism requiring its own shechita extends as well to it's got its own gidanosha, it's got its own chelev. And according to Rabbi Yehuda holds that it can be shechted by the mother shechita, it could be mutter. That would be only true for issues of eating, but Rabbi Meir would agree that for any other issue in which we need to define this as an animal, it is not a piece of meat. And therefore, if some guy's got Portnoy's complaint, he's going to be chayev skila for actually sleeping with an animal, and that's the point. And if he hooks it up to the plow, he's going to be chayev for normal kilayim. And that was the last piece that we had. Then we had the question also earlier about Can you do Shechita in utero? Fascinating question. Do we need to have a currently functioning trachea and a currently functioning esophagus for it to be called a simen, or is an incipient trachea and esophagus considered to be a simen? And therefore, there might be animals that have alternative shechitas. You could either shech their own kind of a veshet, or you could shech their mother's kind of a veshet and be yotze through them, which, of course, relates to the earlier point of Rav Chisda about the difference in the dinim of shechita osa nipol if there is no possible shechita because the fetus is dead. This was a separate machlokas, whether the din of the shechita of the mother is an actual concept of shechita of the child, or is it simply that which makes the mother kosher and would have no impact on shechita osa nipol. We also clarified the question about congenital defects that would be huter, even though it never had a shas hakosher, and we changed the lashon of the Mishnah to include a yitzira, which was literally congenital, was genetically caused, let's say a five-legged animal, and we know that that was treifa all along, and nonetheless, the shechita would be machsherit. And we also discovered that we have two separate bases to this whole halacha, a new halacha, not like our Mishnah that derives it from the logical difference between a non-kosher animal and a treifa animal, would be the braita that obviously is learning it out from min habema ki amut min habema, not all behemas are metame as nevela, and that is an indication that there are behemas that were actually should be nevelas and they're not nevelas, and that would include even this case in which it was in utero. Okay, fascinating daf, amazing sugyas. You got to keep in mind literally dozens of different halachas at the same time across so many different elements of Shas, and it's challenging and fun. So prepare for tomorrow's $64,000 question, which, of course, today doesn't even pay your makolet bill, but it used to be money. So there was once upon a time the $64,000 question, and now they guarantee you a full month of Tnuva cottage cheese. We've been discussing the inyan of a ben bekua, and we have very different situations about ben bekua. And the ben bekua, that is the big machlokas that we have in our Mishnah, is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, as to whether a 9-month full-term ben bekua that was found living in the mother after the shechita of the mother and was removed surgically from the mother, what would be the din? So according to Rabbi Meir, that animal is a completely independent organism. It is not going to be nitar with the mother's shechita, and you shecht it itself, and it's like basically like anything else. Mashenkan, according to the Rabbanan, it was nitar b'shechitat ha'em, even though it's full term, and despite the fact that it's walking around and doing normal things, at least according to one shechita that we saw in the Mishnah, which we're going to discuss later today, it is considered to be basically a walking piece of meat, even if it's years later and it's been plowing in the field. Then we had all kinds of questions about precisely which parts of it are considered to be independent organisms. If you hold it, it's a bendigo. Let's go and continue today, and then we'll review all of the different pieces of this puzzle. If we're talking about the ben bekua as being its own independent organism, so then suppose you have a peter chamor, and this ben bekua, instead of the cow that we've been talking about, which was a full 9-month fetus, over here we're talking about ben bekua, that is a 5-month fetus of a sheep. Well, that's considered to be full term for a sheep. So now the question is, can I give that kohen a ben bekua for the pidyon of my peter chamor? So ma liftot ben bekua. So aliba de Rabbi Meir loti by loch. Look, I mean, Rabbi Meir says the ben bekua is essentially an animal like any other. And given the omer ta'un shechita, he says you shecht it like you would any animal. It's not kosher with the shechita sa'im. So that means it's a normal se'ma'alya. It's a typical sin. Of course, you can use it for pidyon. Why not? But our problem would be, according to the Rabbona, the Rabbona say that shritat imo is metaharato. So if that's the case, I mean, given mao, can we say, given the yama shritas imo metaharato, since basically it seems to be kosher to eat, so we might as well view it as bisra bidikula. Look, you cannot use lamb chops to be poda a petr chamor. You've got to have a living lamb. And essentially what you're looking at over here is lamb chops. So because since you're saying that the shritas aim is metayer, you might as well view it as bisra bidikula. Look, this is like meat in a serving platter, you know, looks like very nice lamb chops to me. So how can I use it to be poda? Oh, Dilma, or do we say, look, when the Torah says to use a set, now this thing is the ultimate matrix set. It looks like a set. It runs back and forth and frolics around like a set. It makes noise like a set. Why isn't it a set? Now, the fact that it may actually just look, act, and pretend to be a set may not be enough. Maybe it's considered to be a piece of meat, and you can't be poda a chamor with a piece of lamb chop. So how do we look at this? So here was the original matrix questions. All right, so that's the Shaila in the Gemara. Do we actually take the red pill, or do we take the blue pill when it comes to the question of the pidyon petr chamor? It seems to be frolicking around, having a nice time. It sure doesn't look like a lamb chop, and therefore, sekarinam, but we do consider it to be a set. So Marzutra says, no, you can't be poted. It's not, technically speaking, it's not a living set. Whereas Ravashi says, you can't. Omale Ravashi la Marzutra, why do you say that? As Ravashi says, I think it's a normal set. Okay, you say you can't, but why? Is it because my data, the gamart, se mipsachim? Is it because the way that the word set is used for a carbon pesach obviously would mean you can't use something like this for a carbon pesach because even a Caesarian is poso for a carbon. So this is obviously not a kosher carbon for a carbon Pesach, and you're making a Gzeirah Shavah, essentially. It says Seh by Pesach, and it says Seh over here, so they should be the same. And therefore, if it's not kosher for carbon Pesach, so then it's not kosher for being the Seh that you're going to give for the pidyon of this Petr Chamor. If so, then how do you explain the fact that when it comes to the Korban Pesach, the only set that you could use is a set Zachar, a set Tamim, and a set Ben Shana? Now, we don't have any such limits when it comes to Pidyon Petr Chamor, because when you're bringing a Korban Pesach, first of all, it has to be male, it can't have any mum, it has to be within its first year. So then why don't you say that here too? Afkan, Zachar, Tamim, or Ben Shana. So obviously you don't really learn it out from the Seh by a Korban Pesach. So why is it dafka this issue that you say makes it not kosher for being a Seh? Answers Marzutra, well, the reason that I don't demand that it has to be Zachar Tamim uVen Shana is because the Torah uses the word tifteh actually twice, and one of them is actually at the beginning, right away by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the other is in the list of the various matanais that we have for Kerach Vadosai after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives all of the different matanais, and it says over there Tifteh again, and that pidyon goes to the Kohi. So that's Marbe, even things that are not Zohar, Tamim, and Ben Shana. Well, okay, so then if it's Marba, the Zohar, Tami, and Ben Shana is not being necessary, why can't it be Marba this too? A Filko Mili Nami, and why can't I use a Ben Bekua? Where does it say I can't? Says Marzuta, look, we know there exists a Xereshava of Se. That's a given, okay? Now, if you're going to tell me that Tifta is Marba even a Ben Bekua, so then what are we learning out of the Gzeirah Shavah?
in Cain says semi-ahanile. So therefore, I understand that to tell me that something has to be roi for a korban, okay, this is not roi, but to tell me that it has to be the specific deal of the korban Pesach, that tifta is marba. So therefore, I don't need for it to be a male, and I don't need for it to be in its first year, and so on. But I do need for it to be roi for korbanas bichlal, and a ben bekua is not roi, because even a yotze dofin is not kosher. Iboilu. So I had another question. What would be the din? We said that actually it's considered to be Urchlin and it's Mekabel Tuma. So if something touches the mother after the Shrita, and it's Metame, the mother as an Avatuma. So now the mother, that is to say the meat of the mother, has become an Avatuma, has become a Rishonot Tuma, because it touched an Avatuma. So how do we view this Ben Bekua? So what this means is, again, does the idea of Ben Bekua imply that this Ben Bekua is actually part of the mother and the Shrita of the Aim is what's materit without its having any impact on the fetus itself to say that the fetus is Shachut? Or is the point that the Simonim of the mother are considered to be the Simonim of the fetus as well? Because, after all, this fetus, being currently in a placenta, and as a placental mammal, it is actually breathing through the mother's trachea, and it is actually eating through the mother's esophagus. And therefore, the shechita of the mother, I mean, this is a brilliant insight. The shechita of the mother is the shechita of the extended trachea and esophagus of the child, you see? And therefore, it itself had a shechita. That's one way of looking at it. If it itself had a shechita because this is its trachea, this is its esophagus, that still doesn't mean that it's part of the mother. So as far as its status is concerned, vis-a-vis being a foodstuff, the mother would be Makabel Rishayim, and then it could become a sheni through the mother. But to say that it would be the same as the mother, we wouldn't say. So that's my question. Do I count two levels of Tuma from it, Rishon Vesheni, or is it just all one thing and it's a Rishon? So this furthers the questions that we've been raising about Ben Bekua and how to view the Shechita Sa'im and the impact of that Shechita Sa'im on the actual fetus in circumstances where we could go even beyond the behemah, ba behemah, which would include even pieces, and therefore it would have nothing to do with a living fetus, and say that even in this case, though it was a living fetus, it is in fact not part of the mother, it's a separate piece. So Rabbi Yochanan says, absolutely, it's two distinct issues. One of them becomes a Rishon, the mother who touches the Av. The second one becomes a Sheni. And as far as the question of why the Shechita works on the child, it's not because it's just a part of the mother. It's because you shechted its own extended concept of trachea and extended concept of esophagus. That's why. But it's not part of the mother. Whereas Reish Lakish says, no, there's no Rishon v'Sheni. The moment that the mother becomes a Rishon by touching the, after a cheat, of course, by touching the Av, this is the equivalent of an egoz hamitkashkesh beklipato. What's the din if you have a nut? And this nut actually has, not that the flesh of the nut is attached directly to the shell. You could shake it and you can hear the actual nut seed inside shaking around the shell. What's the din in that case? The din is, as we learned in Uktzin, the din is that the shomer is considered to be precisely part of the actual thing that's going to be Mekabel Tuma, even to the point of being mitstarif to the shiur, remember? So this is certainly the same as that. It's like an egos, amitkashkesh beklipato, and that would mean that if this is the mother is certainly a shomer on the vlad, that would mean that it is all considered to be a direct connection to the vlad. But this is a new point. It's not because I'm saying that it's part of the mother. I'm saying because once the mother serves as a shomer. So then there's no Rishon V'Sheni. You didn't even take that into consideration when you asked the question. I'm telling you there's a third thing that we need to consider. And look, I think this is quite clear. Because as I can show you from the Mishnah that we're talking about, the dinim of we've had before, about whether we're metame benevela, or whether we're metame like a trefa shruta. So Reish Lakish points out to Rabbi Yochanan that since we had the Mishnah that said that in the case that you shechted the mother, while the aver of the uber was outside of the womb, and you cut it off. So remember the machlokas over there, that according to Rabbi Meir, the cutting off of that aver actually still exposed the part of the fetus that was left inside to a negia on this piece that had been sticking out, and that piece that was sticking out, since it's a vlad and it's not part of the beim itself, Rabbi Meir holds that the shchitas ha'im is osa nipo. The shchita is not matir the basar that was the eva that was sticking out. It becomes eva minachai, and in that case, the basar of the fetus itself, which is now considered to be foodstuff after the Shechita Sa'im, was mekabel tuma because it was touching the rest of it. That's what Rabbi Meir says. And the Chachomim say, no, remember, it's still considered to be a trefa shvuta, and it's only metami derabbanan, and then only if it's kachim. And that's because, remember, according to the Chachomim, the shchita, even though it's the shchita of the aim, is not osanipo, and therefore the shchita is actually matirit as far as tuma is concerned. I just can't take off the din of treifas, but it takes off the din of the tuma that would otherwise be associated with an ever menachai, which is similar to the tuma of an avela. Now, in order for something to be makabel tuma, it actually needs to be mukshel makabel tuma, right? So how exactly is everybody nonchalantly talking about what kind of tuma the vlad was makabo by touching the piece that had been sticking out if it wasn't mukshe lekabel tuma? Can you tell me that? You can't tell me that. Well, I can tell you, because lemaisa, I hold that for all intents and purposes, we have made the mother and the fetus all into one thing, like a nut, okay? So I say, if you have a nut that was sprinkled with water, it's going to be makabel tuma, because remember the din of a shomer is that you can do hechsher tuma through the shomer exactly the same way that you could do tuma through the shomer, right? So if the shomer was exposed to water, well, in this case, the mother was exposed to blood, because it was nishchat, and that's one of the shiva mashkin. So therefore, by definition, the fetus, according to me, was exposed to blood. But according to you, Elodie Dach, you say that no, we're made by Risha Mashani, they're two separate objects over here. So how did the internal object, that is to say the vlad, how was it mukshel kabel tuma in such a way that both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda should just take for granted it could be mekabel tuma? How in the heck is it supposed to be mekabel tuma? Said Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, my dear friend, you forgot. It's mukshel because of the shechita. Because remember Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon said before in the case where you had a shchita yevishta, where there was no bleeding, and the Mishnah said that that's kosher, but it's not mukshel kabel tuma. Rabbi Shimon says over there, it's hukshe b'shchita, that the shchita itself, being something that makes something into a foodstuff, is the full equivalent of exposure to liquid. Remember, because the idea of the exposure to liquid, says Rabbi Shimon, is only that that is the final stage in which the humans view something as edible. And as I pointed out, monkeys are learning the same idea, but that's because there seems to be a confluence over here of human and monkey lately. So it's not at all surprising. And in any event, so the din of Heksher would therefore be through the Shechita. So what's your problem? So We could say the same thing is true over here. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. It's talking about its bekabel tuma, but it's true that it's only mukshel kabel tuma according to Rabbi Shimon because of the fact that it was nishat. Now, Rabbi Yochanan says, actually, I've got to prove to myself. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Take a look at this braita. See, here we're talking about a ben bekua that has grown up and is now walking around, and actually it took a stroll through a nahar. So it walked through this river, came out on the other side of the river. Oh, wait a minute, walked through a river. So this is a case of a piece of meat that was just makshir itself by walking through the river, right? Okay, it's got its owner walking side by side, so it's still kiyitain, and that's the equivalent of a kiyitain. And now, after it comes out of the river, it walks through a beit hakvarot. Now, since it is a walking piece of meat, it was mekabel tuma by walking through the beit hakvarot. This is fun. So the idea over there is that it actually became tame as exposure to tumas meis. So I say, Rabbi Yochanan says, I say, Bishlam Eladidi, I say that it's two separate things, and therefore, if it hadn't walked through that river, then it never would have been mekabel tuma in the Beit HaKvarot, because it was never mukshel mekabel tuma, because the fact that its mother was shechted, and there had been blood, it would not have been mukshel, because if you don't hold of Rabbi Shimon, and this would be going according to the Chachomim, so if you don't hold of Rabbi Shimon, so then there was no hechsher with the Shlita, and the blood on the outside did not affect the inside, because that's my Shita. I don't see it as being like a nut where it's all one thing. But according to you, Reish Lakish, Eladidach, you claim that it's Chad Gufa, so then why do we need for it to walk through the river in order for it to be mekabel tuma in the Beit HaKvarot? You could have just said, if it walks through a Beit HaKvarot, it's mekabel tuma. So how do you explain that? Answers Reish Lakish, I explain it very simply. The Braita is talking about a case of a Shlita Yavishta, exactly the case that I said anyway. We're going according to Rabbi Shimon, who says a Shlita Yavishta is mukshar through the act of Shlita itself. And here, the Tana of the Braita is against Rabbi Shimon, and this is the Rabbanan, and they're telling you that even though it was not mukshar with the aim because of the Shlita Yavishta, it will still be mukshar by having walked through the river.